I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and this is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. As we head into Christmas, we often take time to reflect on friends and family, on hopes and dreams, on plans and logistics, too. After all, we've got the trips to hometowns, the Christmas gift buying, the parking lot congestion to navigate. It's a time to reflect on what's happened and how fast it's all gone by. And in those times, we need the wisdom and dedication to commit our efforts to doing what's necessary, what we were truly put here on this earth to do in this short time we've been granted on this planet. But above all that, and widely forgotten in our modern materialistic age, is the true reason for the celebration, the virgin birth that marks our Western world. For believers or not, the undeniable fact remains that our civilization was and is formed by adherence to those Christian values that he brought a couple of millennia ago. Justice, tolerance, forgiveness, love for our neighbor, these are the true values that we all desire and that we need to remember he came to remind us of. Looking after our eternal assets today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. You know, I've always loved the Christmas period. Well, actually, that's not completely true, if I'm going to be honest. I went through a period where I thought it was cool to be cynical about Christmas, to lament its over-commercialization. Does that sound familiar to you? I thought I was showing my smarts by holding to the view that people were hypocritical by acting better at Christmas time than the rest of the year. I thought I was humanitarian by saying I couldn't celebrate when so many people in the world were going without. Man, what a crock of horse hooey as I look back on it now. Such a false morality in us at times, isn't there? Admittedly, this was in my late 20s, and I thankfully grew out of it when I had a little more maturity to realize that I could think and feel for myself and no longer needed to maintain a modern journalistic cynicism towards anything innocent and pure, like love or spirituality. And anyway, what does this attitude against everything sacred get us anyway? As Alma Deutscher, the young piano prodigy, says, when criticized that she needs to reflect the ugliness of the modern world in her music rather than the beauty she tries to express, she says, hey, I already know the world can be ugly, but what's the point of making it even uglier with ugly music? That is such a great point. Why make a cynical, unbelieving world more cynical by being cynical? As English philosopher Roger Scruton says, the avoidance of joy is a kind of narcissism. So anyway, we're here on Earth for such a short time, it seems to me we'd do well to spend more time on those universal, eternal qualities than just our muscles and money and meat intake. Looking after our eternal assets, our Thoughts for Christmas podcast, when Thinking with Somebody Else's Head returns in just a moment on the Stop Radio Network.
You're listening to the most relevant conversations on the planet about how to stop destroying ourselves and the world. This is the Stop Radio Network.
A key inversion in science.
Always we are trying to extract energy from a material element.
And its negative consequences.
We provoke serious imbalances in nature.
Corrected now with the Kepi Motors disinversion of physics.
And we developed a way to have mechanical power with very little electricity.
This will make a big change, not only in energetic efficiency, but also it will bring better energy in homes because it's magnetic energy.
The Kepi Motor, new technology for a new world.
You're listening to the Stop Radio Network from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Our programs are based on the landmark science of Dr. Norberto Kepi, and there are many exciting applications of his work occurring in Brazil and numerous other locations around the world. This includes language classes, translation services, psychology sessions by phone or Skype, and the new energy solutions proposed by the Kepi Motor. Kepi's expansive science is outlined in his many books and TV programs, all available through our site at stop.org.br. Now, back to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network.
Our program is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. We are on the Stop Radio Network. And, of course, downloading is the individual podcast, too. You know, we're on Spotify. All of our podcasts are there. If you have the Spotify app, you can find us there. If you have the TuneIn app, you can find our radio station, Stop Radio Network. There are many ways to find us. So find us. I mean, use us. Listen to us. And do pass it on to other people. This is really, really important. We've been doing this program now. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco is with me. We've been doing this program now for, is it 13 years? Is it that
13?
Long?
13. I can't believe it.
No, it's like, it's 13 or it's 3. You know, it's like,
come on.
No, it's
come on.
2006 I began this program. So it's a long time. And,
it is indeed. 13.
Yeah, 13 years. 2006.
But you know, Richard, lately and more often, we feel as if there is no week anymore. Weekdays. Today is Monday and then tomorrow is Monday again.
And then it's Christmas.
Yes. So everybody says it is as if we were like going to live without outside time and space.
We
are entering eternity in some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, energy. You know, time and space is a sort of delusion that we fell a long time ago.
Yeah.
We always have lived in eternity, outside time and space, but we don't realize this. Normally. Now, maybe we're starting to realize this.
Yeah, it's becoming clearer, but we don't see it as a spiritual thing. We see it as a material thing. My life is passing before my eyes. I have no more time.
Yes, this is correct. It seems to me to be something that is happening to everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Because everybody whom I speak with, then they say this, the same thing.
So when you talk about this eternal life outside time and space.
Uh-huh.
This is hard for us to understand. We are feet on the ground really solidly.
Yeah.
But it happens with experiences we have with people who've passed on or even with each other. We have these sort of
telepathy
moments.
My God, so strong telepathy.
People have dreams of things that happen in the future. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
So there's great scientists invent things at the same time.
Yeah.
Almost like they pop out of time and space. They see the future and then they enter back down. Or great artists who capture a moment of truth in a painting or music. They capture something eternal. It's not related to their everyday life.
You know why we don't understand these things normally, or we don't speak about them, or we forgot about them? It's a pity, Richard, but it seems to me that the religious people, religious functionaries of churches, they have dealt with the subjects not in a good way.
Not at all, in some cases.
They put so much negative energy around that subject and speaking in the past about hell, purgatory, heaven, and things in a way that if people would not go to churches and obey the religious functionaries, they would go to hell. And this is a lie. This is a complete lie. They made this monopoly of God. And what they did was to prevent people to live with God in society, like a true kingdom of goodness, beauty, and truth, as it should always have
in real life
happened
in everyday life.
Everyday life, we should not see God inside churches alone. We should live with God as a friend in our everyday life. But these subjects about God, they became, as I said, a monopoly, like. They have the rights to speak about God, no other people. You remember Luther when he printed the Bible in German?
Mm-hmm.
And he was expelled from the church because the Bible should be used just by
Latin and Greek.
Some specific special people.
Yeah.
And Jesus
Christ. And understood
Christ,
by 10 or 12 people on the planet. Yeah.
And to manipulate people.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ brought his message and gave his life to everybody. And he used to say, I came to my people, to the Jewish, but the Jewish didn't receive me. So here I am for all peoples. And the apostles, he sent to all peoples to send his message. And the monopoly started right after that.
I wonder why we've accepted this so well. Kepes had something in his latest book. Not his latest. I'm finishing what I thought was his latest book, and now he has another one published. So he publishes them faster than we can read them. But he said that people consider spirituality to be inferior somehow, that we don't have an attention. And, you know, we had a very interesting...
Inferior, secondary.
Yeah, like or inconsequential even.
Yeah.
Like totally...
Like a doubt. It's doubtful still. Yeah. Who proves? So it's not tangible.
Why do we need that? Like only primitive people need... spirituality, you know.
Yeah.
We modern people, we have reason and law.
Developed civilization don't need God, self-sufficient. But lately, we see more and more in our couch. We are clinical psychoanalysts, so we experience more and more. This existential crisis is just growing and growing in such an amount of seriousness. And people more and more getting sick, somatizing, psychosomatizing their illnesses, transforming illnesses into stress and stress into physical illnesses. We see people committing suicide. We see people betraying each other. No more love bonds, loving bonds between people and friends.
Loyalties.
Loyalty. Now people just relate to cell phones. So it's critical. It's critical. And we see that more and more, the more the people get away from spirituality and this inner ethics, the more they feel there. It's like an existence against our essence. And this existence becomes more and more unbearable. And we get less and less satisfaction.
Are people seeing this, though, as a spiritual problem, or are they thinking it's a material problem?
No, they think. They don't understand what is happening. It's their job. It's the style of life.
Yeah, they don't have enough money. They don't have enough cars.
They have enormous amount of people now with panic attacks and stress-related diseases. Cancer is like an epidemic problem. And drugs... And heart attacks, and people becoming more and more unhappy. And panic attacks are, it's also like epidemic. So we see that generations, they don't understand anymore among each other, like between generations.
Yeah.
And even this thing of accepting oneself in our differences. This doesn't resolve anything because the more we accept each other problems in terms of social things, social perspective, the less these people feel happy and satisfied because they start to see that if they have a problem in feeling accepted by others in society, they have to see that they have this inner problem in themselves and they do not accept themselves the way they live. So this we don't speak only about sexual choices, but we speak about the use of the body that women and men do, the freedom to kill our babies that are like part of our souls. This is not something moral. This is something psychological. It is extremely energetic to break a bond between me and like my son or a daughter that is growing inside me. So this is an enormous trauma to any woman. And we kill 40 million babies per year in the world.
That's almost unbelievable.
So this is not a religious problem. This is a civilization problem, the problem of a civilization. It's a social problem. It's a psychological problem. It's a problem of a humanity that didn't work out. We didn't work out.
Dr. Kepi, talks about it as a kind of an opposition to the real world, right? This difficulty, all these difficulties you're facing are not problems individually. They're like a collective problem of rejection of the truth of life.
You see, the medical doctors, the traditional medicine, the pharmacies, the big pharma, they are having so much profit out of pills, tranquilizers, psychiatric drugs.
Antidepressants.
So we have to see, we failed as a civilization. We failed. So it's time to stop and see what is wrong. Because if you continue this, well, we will end up with, end up with civilization. Well, now, let me now speak a little bit more about this thing of not feeling satisfied.
Yeah, this is like a chronic condition in the human
because
being.
Because we are upside down, Richard. We are born upside down. We have this illusion or delusion that we are just matter. Yeah. The majority or the biggest part of ourselves is our spiritual condition, or we may call it psyche, our psychological, our soul. As Greeks used to say, psyche is soul. Mm-hmm. Our soul is much more powerful than we normally see. We drug it. We disconnect with it.
Alcoholize it.
We buy it.
Yeah. Sell it.
We sell it. We eat it.
But we ignore it.
We ignore it and we suffer tremendously. Because it is as if we are committing a suicide day by day.
If I could talk about this in something that happened last night in more, I don't know if this is tangential or really fits with what you're saying. We had a Finnish writer last night giving a class about finished film. She's a former director and writer in television.
And film industry.
And the film industry, and now is working as a writer and in her 70s. And she was saying now that in Finland, when they make films, the only films they can make about heroes are war films. So they keep making war films every year. The one film she showed us that her son was the director of, called The Unknown Soldier, it's a famous Finnish movie, has been made 3 times now. Mm. They just keep remaking these movies because they don't have heroes in their regular life. They don't see heroes.
They kill heroes.
They killed heroes. Uh-huh. They don't have any other heroes because uh-huh. they've eliminated this.
The ideals.
Yeah. The spiritual.
The ideals. You know? An idea, Richard, is so important.
Oh, man, is it
we
ever.
We should
Live from our ideals.
Yeah.
They should drive our life in some way.
Yes, yes. Everybody has an ideal.
Or had. Yeah.
But we lost it. We thought it was delusional, that we could never accomplish an ideal, that we would be like alienated people in fantasy, but we are totally upside down,
yeah.
And that's why we feel so much unsatisfied. We need to aplacar, to
apply.
No, aplacar is to diminish, to bring down,
put down
this enormous unsatisfaction we have through material things.
To diminish
the notion of this unsatisfaction, this enormous hole we have in our existence, because we have lost touch with our sense of beauty, truth, and goodness.
Yeah. Sometimes I show the picture of the Chinese man standing in front of the tanks in Tiananmen Square. Mm. I show this picture in my classroom, and I say, so who has the power in this situation? It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Many people say the tanks have the power. I say, but wait a minute. The tanks are stopped. Mm-hmm. For one little guy with a hat and a briefcase, tiny little Chinese guy, mm-hmm. standing in front of these tanks. Where's the power? So why does he have power? Because he's connected to something universal, something mm-hmm. that everybody recognizes, freedom, justice, the lack of oppression of the powerful. These are like universal themes, and they're very powerful.
We should live and die out of, like, from
yeah.
this.
Yeah, we should be like this guy.
We should, because this is the power. This is the true
power. The real power.
The real power are our ideals. The ideals. They are highly...
Yeah. They're connected to something much bigger than
sure.
just ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's why we recognize them.
You know why? This morning, I was attending a Canadian client. He's married. Now he's in his seventh year of marriage. And this is must be considered presently a miracle because people don't even marry
this
anymore.
This is the crisis year, apparently, yes.
People don't even get married anymore.
Yeah, true.
Because they know they are going to split very soon and change partners. And this is one source, one of the sources of unsatisfaction and instability, emotional instability.
That we don't keep our relationships together?
Yeah. Because as soon as a problem shows up, then split. Dismiss. And dismissing, you dismiss a lot of good things as well.
Yeah, and also the opportunity to see a little deeper what's going on inside me, right?
Yes.
What
is wrong not with your partner, but with you?
With me, yeah.
Yeah. So he was saying that he's very glad, because he does analysis and his wife also does analysis, so they have a help.
Yeah.
But he was saying that he's happy because he is for the first time in his life, he's becoming more stable in his financial life. And this is showing that innerly he is in a better balance,
somehow
psychological.
He's accepting it somehow, isn't he? Yeah.
Psychologically speaking, he is more balanced, not only his finances. His finances are a reflection of his inner attitudes. And then he said, I sat down with my wife and we calculated our spending and what is coming in and out. So it's not resolved 100%, but we are on the way to our goals. Then I told him, okay, in the end of the session, I told him, but do you sit with your wife and do you plan your investments and assets for the future, I mean, not for a common future, but for your eternal life?
Yeah.
What are the investments and assets you were considering with your wife?
How are you investing in this life,
in
eternal life?
In your eternal life, because it's starting right now. Our eternity is right now, and it will be forever. So depending on the way we live now, we will keep it forever.
Yeah.
With a difference. We will keep just the psychological assets forever. Psychological and spiritual. But the material assets, we will leave behind all of them. We can't take any of our assets.
We will shake off that mortal coil, as Shakespeare said.
Yeah.
And we will liberate ourselves from the physical and have only the psychological, spiritual.
And all the psychological.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so all problems and good things and qualities and virtues and good deeds, satisfactions of what you accomplished. Do you feel really accomplished? Like we say in Portuguese, você se sente realizado.
Do you feel like you have accomplished? You're an accomplished person. You've
so
done something.
I used to say this in my lectures in New York City. To be or to you need to realize, to accept consciousness, to realize in order to realize.
Yeah.
So realize in English is the same word.
Yeah.
To realize and realize. So we need to realize in order to realize. So if we want to realize things, we need to realize.
Yeah.
In practice. We must be accomplishing and doing good things in practice to realize and feel useful for humanity, for myself, for other people. Now, pay attention, Richard. Very, 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 very few couples in the planet get together in order to plan together how to invest, both of them, in eternity. And this is the only marriage that I know as truthful. a marriage, when you and your wife, or speaking about women, their husbands, when we sit together or walk together or whatever together we do, in planning to plan and to do, what should we do? What we need to do in order to invest and to take care of our eternal assets. If I got a person from God to be my friend, to be a companion, to be my husband or my wife, I got an asset. So what am I going to do with this eternal asset, which is a friend, a companion, of whatever friend we get? All friends, all relations, we should always take the chance to see what can we do together in order to invest together in our eternity, in our true assets,
yes,
that we are not going to lose. Nobody can take them from me. Nobody, even the devil, even demons, nobody. Criminals, psychopaths, powerful people, tanks, as you mentioned. This asset, the spiritual, the ethical, the virtue, the good heart, mercy, mercifulness.
Yeah.
The satisfaction we get from this, or arts, who can take from me this inner satisfaction? Nobody. And this will be with me forever.
Yes.
In eternity.
Yes.
This is the true richness I can bring with me.
Sure, there's that great scene in Shawshank Redemption where Tim Robbins has just played Mozart for all of the criminals in the prison, you know, and everybody's standing there with this moment, you know, and one of the characters says, in this moment, it was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab cage, and in this moment, all the prisoners in Shawshank felt free.
Yeah.
And then the warden puts this Tim Robbins character in solitary confinement to punish him for playing this for all of the other criminals. And when he comes out, the guy says, "Well, how was it in there?" He says, "No problem. I had Mozart to keep me company."
You see.
And they said, "Oh, they let you take that record player down with you?" "No, no, no. It was in here," points to his head.
Mm-hmm.
"It was in here," he points to his heart, you know. "It was there. Nobody can take that from you. Haven't you ever felt that? Nobody can take that from you."
And if you don't have a record, and if you don't have an orchestra, or if you don't have Mozart, you have something or someone,
yeah,
or beings, and a supreme being, that it's here all the time, ready to talk, to have an inner talk.
I wanted to read this from Kepi's great book, Earth, the Illusory Planet. He says, "We already have an essential aspect within our structure which shares all of this marvelous reality." Talking about the reality of God, right? "Even though it has not yet been put into place in social life. If we can break the barrier of the senses, which man has placed between himself and eternity, we will return to this ineffable world of goodness, beauty, and truth, which we have refused to inhabit, but which remains at our disposition."
Yeah.
Isn't that
and
gorgeous?
Now we can think about prayer or meditation. Meditation not to empty our minds, but to talk to God. And I understand that when we start this connection, and every time we talk to God, we will absolutely and necessarily see everything. God is total consciousness. It's like full consciousness. So when we, like in meditation or in prayer, we talk to God, we always, at the same time, feel our feelings of guilt.
We talked about this last week.
And mistakes we did, wrong deeds, and what we didn't do, we could have done.
Or could have done better.
Yeah. So we have to go through this, too. Otherwise, you're not talking to God.
You're talking to the devils. You're talking to other spirits. You are being deceived by the devil. But when you talk to God, this is just between you and Him, me and Him. So I know where I failed. He knows where I failed. And if I, He already knows, but when I get more like consciousness, I realize this foolishness of some deeds or undeeds.
Get more honest, actually.
Yeah. We need to be humble. And then we can feel the greatness of the forgiveness and the love of God. And to be held by Him, to be consoled by Him. And this is not a church. It's not a church dominion. It's a psychological dominion. It's a spiritual. And anyone, everybody can do this. No matter what race, what religion, what sex, what age, everybody is entitled to talk to his Father and to feel and to receive his love. Nobody can take this from us. Only us can, we only can refuse this, can turn the back and then suffer. But he's always there, open to us at any time.
Trying to eliminate him is very serious then, isn't it?
It's sad.
Trying to eliminate him from society.
It makes us ill, seriously ill.
It creates tension and war.
And leave us without good assets for eternity.
The psychology and spirituality of paying attention to our assets, our virtues. No way is that old-fashioned, out of step with modern life, or irrelevant. Norberto Kepi has said many times we need to go back to those eternal but discarded values in order to really go forward. And it's in this sense that we're talking today. Well, that is our program for this time. It's left only for me to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas from all of us at the International Society of Analytical Trilogy and the Stop Radio Network. Here's hoping all of us develop more spiritual intelligence in 2020. All the best to you.
From the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in São Paulo, Brazil, this is the Stop Radio Network.
In 2004, in a small countryside village in Brazil, the Stop the Destruction of the World Association initiated a remarkable project.
Cambuquira is the place we choose to organize our living experiences in Analytical Trilogy.
The human being and society are dependent on one another. It does no good to try to correct the individual while allowing the social sphere to remain the same.
Like a new model of socio-economic, artistic, educational, spiritual living.
Our Cambuquira project is a model of a society that nurtures the human spirit.
It's a small place. It's not far from São Paulo. We travel through very beautiful mountains. And there we have our hotel, the largest hotel in this town.
Welcome to the Grand Trilogy Hotel.
When they go there, they have natural organic food, natural organic milk, natural organic cheese and products, very good meat, but we also have possibilities for the vegetarians. And there we have our hotel where we apply the concepts of this new world, this new society, a better life to live.
Classes, businesses, social projects, a better society brought to life.
We have conference rooms, we have a theater, we have musical presentations, we have artists from Brazil and from all over the world coming there.
Analytical Trilogy has proposals to transform all areas of human activity, leading to the society of the future.
There we will have people immersed, participating and living in a society where the pathology of power is controlled. Because the pathology of power is more than ever impeding people to survive.
Sociotherapy, using the world's most advanced science.
The solutions will never come from the powerful. They are coming from the people, from those who are more capable, like artists, like scientists, like educators. So that's what we are doing here.
creating mechanisms to live a happier life.
To find out more about Analytical Trilogy and our Campbell-Kidder Social Project, go to our website at www.stop.org.br.
Thank you for listening to the most relevant conversations in the world about stopping the destruction of ourselves and the planet. This is the Stop Radio Network.